tight pants. That is a huge first down. Bit of a high throw. Tyson Gooden is 6 feet, 7 inches tall. Jace Baldwin is about 5 feet, 10 inches tall. You got to adjust there. You know, you're not throwing to yourself. But Baldwin, I think what I would say about him is he has effortless athleticism. He's able to get up so quickly. I don't know. Most other running backs, I think there's going to be a bit of lag time between the catch and the run, but he was able to get up and turn his hips with immediacy and gives the Gaels a key first down, first and 10 from the Queens 45-yard line. Play action pass from Gooden. He's got time, and he is slinging again, but this time a little too much on that one, Don, looking for Kentrell Amanady.
I think he was not unlike, it wasn't exactly the same look as the play before. As the play before, when the ball fell off Amanady's hands, he had was kind of rolling out to the far side. That time, a nice play action fake into the belly of Jace Baldwin. And, you know, you can see the linebackers, they've seen the strength of Baldwin's play here this afternoon, stepping up, allowed Amanady to get free downfield, but the timing wasn't quite there between Gooden and his receiver.
And just a reminder, folks, now that it's 5 p.m., you're tuned into CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from Kingston, Ontario. We've got preseason football action, but yes, a little too excited there were the Gaels as they are going to have to move 5 yards back. And I like what I've seen from Gooden, but he hasn't quite been on the money with his passes, so this is going to be a very difficult down and distance to convert on against the defense of this caliber. It is a 25-19 scoreline for Laval here at Richardson Stadium in what has been a very entertaining back-and-forth battle between two of Canada's best. And this is a pretty crucial down here. Second and 15. Gooden under pressure, steps up and goes down. And that is the second time on second down that the Gaels' young signal caller has tasted turf. Laval with an aggressive blitz there, paying dividends.
Loic Berdur, the linebacker with the late blitz, able to come around the end. Reading it nicely as the tackle was already engaged with the defensive end and then able to get the pressure and forcing Gooden to eat that ball. Going to make it third and very long and on once again to punt is Capachiti Gutierrez.
We'll see if he puts a bit more of an angle on this one. Gaels have had a hard time corralling the returner in a straight middle of the field situation. And holy cow, Don, with the wind at his back, he just put that one deep into the Rouge Or end zone. And that's going to be a single for the Gaels. Holy cow! Mark Capachiti Gutierrez, a caffeine shot of adrenaline there from Capachiti. Goodness gracious.
At about 49 yards to number 31 there. That was about an 80-yard punt. And yes, it was at least at the numbers on the far sideline.
My goodness. Well, we talked about his first punt not being his best work, but I think he's probably pretty pleased with that one, all things considered. As we have a, once again, say it with me, folks, 5-point deficit as it's a 25-20 ball game here at Richardson Stadium. Preseason football action. I am going to see if I can get some more out-of-town scores for you. In the meantime, LaRue continuing to be a strong presence at quarterback. Bad snap there. Manages to get the handoff. And that is going to be tackled up by Callum Green. And we have a scoreline, Don, 30-3, Montreal over Ottawa. And a bit of a one-sided beatdown there from the Caravan. The defending Vanier Cup champions absolutely taking it to the Ottawa Gigi's 30-3, which means Queens will have to win to even up the OURSEQ four-game mini-series here.
See, once again, Marc-Antoine Lacombe, the backup center, struggling with some high snaps here on this drive.
We'll see if he can put one on the money here, as that's going to be a completion from LaRue to number 87 for the Rouge Or. That's Xavier Beaudoin, and that's going to be a first down for Laval, who look to be slowly pulling away here. We saw a great touchdown from Ashton St. Germain to Ben Falkowski, and we saw a nearly as impressive strike from Tyson Gooden to Kentrell Emanati that ended up, well, it will be tallied as a drop officially. And that has been kind of a turning point in this game as Laval has started to slowly take control here at Richardson Stadium. First and 10, hand off here, tackled up by a duo of Gales, including number 94, Sam Clark, and looks like number 59, which I believe is Adam Skeldon. Second and, oh, and we have, is that Kyrese? I believe that's Kyrese XL, big number 96 for the Gales, taking a knee here.
Xavier Dagenet on the carry that time for Laval. We talked about the Gales schedule for this season, the Rouge et Or, as we take a look at how they're going to be getting things started at home in a couple of weeks when they take on the Concordia Stingers. Then they go on the road to take on McGill in Montreal. Sherbrooke travel to Quebec City in the third week of the action. In the first of the two big matchups between Laval and Montreal at the end of September, that's in Quebec City on the road to Concordia, hosting McGill. And they face Bishops in the first game with the Stingers back in the OU. Sorry, Gators back in the RSEQ. And yep. Then they finish the season on the road at Montreal.
Quick swing pass, slowed up and tackled up by number 10 for the Gales. That's Kalawa Audi, who we saw on the dress roster in Saskatchewan last year. But first real in-game action for him here, and that's going to be enough to force a punt as the Gales trail by five here.
Well, OD doing a tremendous job shedding the block of Gutierrez and then able to tackle the receiver on the play. As it was, the play was lined up to pick up some decent yardage.
As we have less than 6 minutes remaining in our fourth and final quarter of football action. I think even if we have a tie, they're not playing overtime. And that's a good punt here, caught by number 85, Alex Walters, who will go out of bounds shortly thereafter with a flag down. And we'll see if that's a hold or if that's maybe unsportsmanlike conduct or what gets tallied. I don't know. I don't think it was no yards.
It's an illegal block against the Gales. We'll back it up 10 yards.
That would make sense.
And Gales fans are looking for the number here, as it is not Alex Vraken in at number 12. Sorry, it's going to be our fourth quarterback here, Noah Walters.
Oh, wow.
I believe he's actually wearing number 12 instead of number 14 here.
Right you are. Or I think Walters is 19, and then 12, I think, is Darian Barnes. I was doing the math earlier.
Okay.
I haven't seen a 23.
Sorry, you're correct. Yep.
Because I know, yeah, so Darian Barnes is our second number 12. Once again, folks, bear with us. A lot of names and numbers to go through, more than the usual. But true first-year quarterback Noah Walters in. As that handoff up the middle is going to be swallowed up for less than nothing. Oh, is it St. Germain? Oh, my mistake. Sorry about that, folks. They've gone back to St. Germain. And then Walters, I think, is 14. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're getting the numbers. a little haywire here. But St. Germain has been the most impressive of the second and third quarterbacks the Gales have used. He's got his back against the wall here. Second and 10 from the Queens 5, trailing by 5 in this preseason clash with the Laval Rouge et Or. Gales went into halftime with a narrow lead. But Laval has answered in kind, and that's a good run from Ethan Dahl, probably his best of the day so far. Trying to keep the Gales in this contest.
Able to bounce it outside and picks up about 12 yards on the play, but he needed a couple of more.
I was going to say, it looked like for a second they were considering going for it, but... Fair enough. We'll get some more punt reps in for Mark Cappuccini Gutierrez, who with the wind at his back, clobbered one.
This might be outside of his range, though, I think, Jesse.
Well, hey, Randall Cunningham punted a 90-yarder once, so anything's possible. Laval's returner getting some friendly advice from the Queens faithful, advising him to take a few steps back with Mark Capuchetti Gutierrez in the ballgame. But will not be necessary as Capuchetti Gutierrez will surrender the safety to extend the deficit to 7. It's a 27-20 ball game, as it looks like the RSEQ are going to very potentially take the rubber match here, with Concordia losing to Guelph, but Montreal, no surprise there, beating Ottawa, and McGill, I would say, no surprise there, beating Toronto. This is the other matchup that I think had the most potential to be close, and it has been exactly that so far. As we approach the end of our fourth quarter of football action, quite a game indeed.
The Gales did have a 13-8 halftime lead.
And for a lot of the contest, they certainly looked like a national caliber team.
Blackman coming up to make the tackle on that play. He's a little bit shaken up. Looks to be his left wrist. He's going to stay in. Nice job limiting the Laval receiver to just a 2-yard gain.
Second and 8 coming up from the Laval 37-yard line. 3 minutes remaining in a one-score game here. And we've seen a lot of really positive stuff from the Gales, especially, I would say, that second-team offense in particular, putting together a couple great drives, capped off with a tremendous touchdown from Ashton St. Germain to Ben Falkowski, as we get a timeout called here by the Rouge et Or, looking to...
The very infrequently seen timeout late in an exhibition matchup, but...
With the three-minute warning.
You know, you go back to the fact that you talk about the sort of second-string offense and that, but, you know, the depth of this Queens receiving core, and that, you know, you could go, you see somebody like, Falkowski stepping up, and, you know, yes, he saw limited action last year with 3 receptions, but he's had 2 really nice long receptions here, 1 on the long touchdown and that here this afternoon. And, you know, yes, you know, you're losing to Nathan Falcone, but in terms of numbers and that, you've got a lot of guys who can catch passes here for the Gales across that receiving unit.
And I'll say, Ben Falkowski is somebody that was highlighted by Coach Snyder himself during some of our media day stuff as a player with major potential and outstanding hands, even at a young age. So it does not surprise me to see him hit the ground running, because that's a pretty big stamp of approval to get from someone who is infamously very hard to please in Coach Steve Snyder. So here we go, a second and long for the Rouge et Or, leading by 7 here late in the fourth quarter. And look, under pressure and taken down, Tommy Nitschke, and number 53. That was... Oh, Brock Schaubel, the linebacker. Great football name. Brock Schaubel forcing the Laval quarterback number 18. That's LaRue, who has been great with his legs here today, flushed out of the pocket and taken down by Kingston's own Tom Nitschke. I actually ran into the Nitschke family out near where I live. They're a lovely, lovely group. And Evan, we saw making some great plays earlier, and Tom with the biggest play of the fourth quarter for the Gales so far, as Queens will get the ball back with a chance to tie this football game.
Credit with Schaubel wearing number 53 with a very Van Wishartian rush on that play
to put
the pressure.
Queens did fumble the punt return, but I think they did get last touch to knock it out of bounds. But Alex Walters, unfortunately, could not corral that one on the run. And this could be a very consequential play here. We are waiting for the official ruling. Fumbled out of bounds. Who touched it last? I thought Walters managed to get a hand on it. But we're going to find out here. But yeah, Brock Schaubel, a great play. I love the Van Wishart comparison. That didn't even twig in my mind, but it is going the other way. as that is a very costly turnover from the Gaels late in this contest. So they will need the defense to step up one more time as they trail by 7 to the Laval Rouge A.O.R. You hate to see that, Don. A couple, and these are from young players, so these are the things that are going to happen. I'd rather it be now than, a regional or national championship game. But still, that one stings all the same.
It does take away an opportunity for the offense to get back on there and see if they could try and drive downfield and at least tie this matchup up.
Laval gets the ball back, and they are going to run the ball, and they are going to pick up a great gain on first down up the middle, and they are likely going to do what they can to just take out the last bit of this clock and head back to the RSEQ with a victory over the OUA's best in their back pocket.
On CFRC radio, that was a 30-30 matchup with number 30, the running back Remy Nadeau, tackled by the Gaels, number 30, Dylan Miller, but second and one upcoming.
And another handoff up the middle, and Tommy Nitschke getting those big hands on the ball carrier there. And it was close, but he will get the first down. But you know what? I think this run defense has made a good accounting for themselves. After a bit of a struggle in the first quarter, I think they've really given Laval trouble. And this, you know, this augurs well for the future of this team moving forward into key games this season in the OUA Conference.
Well, you take a look at one player that wasn't even out there at all this afternoon on the field, Ollie Jackson.
Yeah, think about what this team was able to accomplish without arguably their premier pass rusher. And Jackson was practicing throughout the week. We have a fumble here. And that's going to be a huge sack for the Gaels, dropping Laval back to midfield. Not quite a Vraken-esque 38-yard loss on a sack, but that's going to give a little bit of life to this Gaels defense. And
it's about the third or fourth bad snap, unfortunately, for Marc-André Lacombe.
And that has been, look, center's tough. I was our backup long snapper in high school, and that was hard, let alone having to do, essentially that every single play and then go block somebody. So you'll never catch much center slander here from me. But, yeah, that's a tough break there for Laval and their backup center as we have got a second and Shakutami or so. And it's going to be a screen pass. And Brock Schauble read that one to perfection. As we do have a flag down, it looks like, maybe a hold based on where it was. But Brock Schauble with a great football name, and he's lived up to it this afternoon.
As you say, did a nice job snuffing out that screen. Just simply sat at the line of scrimmage as it was set up to get some decent yardage.
Illegal block.
I think it's illegal contact.
Gotcha. Okay.
If anything, but
yeah, I was gonna say, you don't tend to see many blocking penalties on the defense, at least not when there's no ball in their hands. So what would have been a shutdown will now be a second and 12.
It's odd from where it came out with the side judge throwing that flag, though, because the only person near to make a play there was Schauble, and that was certainly not a legal contact from him.
No, I was also, that's why I assumed it was a hold on the lineman on the screenplay. But here we go, second along again, handoff, and they needed that tackle and they got it, and that was Kalawa Audi finishing that one off as Laval will try and make a field goal and essentially put this game out of reach. But some late drama here in what has been a very competitive matchup between two teams with national title aspirations.
Well, and you can see the importance that Glenn Constantine is putting on this play here. He's not bringing in his backup kicker, Emile Choquet, who barely booted a ball over from about 35 yards out. He's got a starting kicker, Forteza, in.
However, that's no guarantee either, as Forteza struggled last year with accuracy, yep, and we've seen him struggle here today with it as well. And worth noting, he will be kicking into the wind. So we could be in store for a...
Well, looking to see who's going to be back in the end zone to try and return this. Again, you can't talk about Laval and Gaels football without going back to... Now, again, it was kicking the other way in that game, but it was Jimmy Allen returning the ball 118 yards from the west to the east end zone. Jimmy Allen, Shamari Williams, a couple of the... with 3.5 sacks back in that game.
Some iconic performances.
Ashton Watson in the end zone this time for the Gales.
Number 16, formerly number 83. Another St. Andrews College product. The snap was bad. The kick is wide. Ashton Watson, he's got to get it out of the end zone, and he will. So Queens is going to have a chance to tie this game, Don, with a minute and 11 seconds on the clock. Well, 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 some late intrigue here in what has been maybe one of the best preseason football games I've ever seen in any sport, period.
Yeah, very entertaining. You saw, you know, I think both teams, as Watson is a little slow getting up off the turf after that tackle, but you've seen positives. If you're both coaching staffs, you know, for the Gales from an offensive perspective, you saw them able to move the ball a couple times. You saw them go up against a very tough defensive line. That's going to test you when you're talking about your, you know, what's the work of their brand new tackles this year in Riley Bishop and Nate Skeldon. But they also, you know, by and large, won that first half, being up 13-8 after the first half. And then you saw some great play out of some of their backup players. Had, you know, a lot of nice passes here this afternoon by Ashton Saint-Germain. That one almost play from Dyson Gooden to Kentrell Aminati. And so lots of positives here from Laval. You're coming down here right now. You've got a 7-point lead, a minute and 11 left to go here against a Yates Cup champion from last year, and you're getting the kind of test you want to see in your exhibition action before you take on the RSEQ.
So Saint-Germain stepping up in the pocket. Wow, what a catch from Ben Falkowski, and I think that's going to be pass interference as well. Had his defender glued to him like my toupee in May, and Falkowski came up with it all the same.
You talk about a receiver has to come back and help out his quarterback. Falkowski did that beautifully, and that's even with Eloïc Goujon, the defensive back, draped all over him.
And that will be a first down. Pass interference call accepted, moving Queens up to their own 35-yard line, and only 5 seconds off the clock on that play, Don. So that's a huge, huge start for this drive. Jace Baldwin staying into pass block. Saint-Germain rolling right. He's going to keep this one. And Saint-Germain dropping the shoulder. And, hey, it's not preseason to him, Don. He's playing like it's the fourth quarter of the Yates Cup. Saint-Germain running hard and picking up another first down. Gales approaching the midfield. This will be first and 10 from their own 49-yard line.
Saw some nice mobility in the pocket by Saint-Germain and then able to get it downfield.
Richardson saw an incredible last-minute comeback here in the Summer Football League against the Niagara Spears, and that's complete to Jack Ashby Jacobs over the 40-yard line. The Grenadiers won that game, Don, after trailing by 30 at half. A last-minute touchdown caught deep in this end zone. Will we see some more late summer magic here from Queens as they have picked up their third consecutive first down on this drive? Trips on the right-hand side. Ashton Saint-Germain over the middle. And Noah Loudon takes a bit of a bump. No pass interference call issued. A little perplexing there, Don, because the ball hadn't even got there yet and Loudon was on the ground. But
I agree with you, and I think most of the Gales fans here on the near sideline thought that should have been pass interference. One thing that we've talked about with the develop of Alex Vraken is his ability to move in the pocket. And Saint-Germain, yes, you're going up against the backup Laval defensive line here. He's done a nice job with that here on this drive, making some moves to extend the time to get the ball downfield.
So here we go. Second and 10. Jack Ashby Jacobs in motion. Jack just had that great first down catch. Saint-Germain stepping up in the pocket. What a play from a first-year eligibility player under immense pressure over the middle. And I think that was Ashton Watson on the grab. Holy cow, Don. The Gales are hotter than fish grease here at Richardson Stadium.
Gales used to seeing number 16 on that crossing road across the middle.
They needed it there. Saint-Germain is not going to be able to make the magic happen this time, though, as he is swamped by three Laval defenders. But my goodness, you got to love what you've seen from number 19, Ashton St. Germain. As a timeout is called by the Gaels, they're going to have a quick congress here. But holy cow, this kid who didn't see a single snap of game action last year has come in and played outside his mind here today.
When we talked earlier in the broadcast here this afternoon, some of the things that you want to see out of a preseason exhibition action, guys that you're not necessarily thinking about for this year, but you're thinking about either for next year down the road kind of thing, and the Gaels have seen a lot of promise here from a couple of their young pivots.
And I think the general line of succession with somebody as athletically and physically gifted as Tyson Gooden, there's been a lot of discussion that, you know, he's the guy that they think can take the reins from Alex Vraken after this season. But I think next year we're going to have a wide open quarterback camp between Ashton St. Germain, Tyson Gooden, and hey, we haven't seen Noah Walters here today, true first year kid, understandably so. But I think this Gaels quarterback room looks to be in good hands after they lose their all-conference and possibly this year all-Canadian caliber pivot in Vraken. Second and about 17. Queens trailing by 7. You know Laval's going to bring it. Quick completion to Ashton Watson, just trying to make it third and manageable. 20 seconds on the clock. And actually, Don, I really like that play call. Pick up about 5 yards, make it a third and 12, third and 13. Check down versus touchdown. Here they'd love a first down, but oh, snap, not the greatest. St. Germain, Ben Falkowski, touchdown Queens! Holy cow! Say what you will and say it now. Touchdown number 2 for Queens, number 11. And are they going for 2,
that's
Don?
That's why I had the 2 fingers up. This is exhibition action, and the Gaels are going for 2.
This is one of the great games. If you are not here today, you have missed an absolute classic as Queens. They are going for it.
Let's credit the offensive line. You have a couple of the starting offensive line that are on there right now, but a lot of the backup offensive linemen have been in there and really doing a great job, by and large, giving St. Germain time to get the ball downfield. Great run, route run that time by Ben Falkowski, getting open for a second TD.
Here we go, folks. This is a game-changing play. Gaels trail by 1. They're going for 2. Laval 27, Queens 26. 10 seconds on the clock. The snap issued from the 5-yard line. St. Germain, he's got his man. Queens converts. They lead by 1 with 10 on the clock. It is pandemonium here at Richardson.
Jesse, when we were here watching practice on Monday night, you and I were watching the quarterbacks, and when they have the net over on the near sideline and the quarterbacks are lined up right in the middle of the field, we talk about one of the hardest passes for any quarterback, especially young quarterbacks, to throw. St. Germain made that long out pass, getting the ball all the way out to the far sideline, and then a nice run route run that time by Loud to get open for the 2-point convert.
And it was close. You could see the Laval defensive back bearing in, and credit to Loudon. He did what he had to do, which is just hold that ball. He knew he was going to take a shot. Holy cow, Don. A drive that started in the shadow of the Gaels' end zone all the way down, not just for 6, but 2 more.
And we talk about missed field goals and that kind of thing, and the Jimmy Allen and the Ian St. Arnaud's. But you talk about the play by Ashton Watson just to get the ball out of the end zone, along with the tough catch that he had over the middle down at this end as well.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a guy who has spent years fighting for his spot in an immensely deep and talented wide receiver room, and he never got discouraged. He knew his time would come if he just put in the work. But this is no guarantee, folks, as we have got a kickoff with 10 seconds on the clock. Queens has struggled on special teams today against some of these talented returners.
Queens
but
going
Matt
with the
driver just tattooed that ball. And we are going to see one final drive from Laval. Queens with a 29-27 lead. Matt Driver getting a single point there, as Laval will have 7.4 seconds on the clock to try and steal a victory here at Richardson in a game that has had everything, in a game that will be remembered for the play of Ashton St. Germain.
And the Gales put their starting secondary. Mm. And in fact, I'm looking at most of the starting defense with the linebackers back on the field here for this final play.
Both these teams want this win. Who will get it? Over the middle to the turf. 3.8, second and 10, 35. Queens leads, and they've got to get that graphic off the scoreboard, Don. They got to get that graphic off the scoreboard.
One play too early.
Gales have not won yet. This game is still anybody's call. We have seen, and some of us have lived, misery in the final moments. Will we see ecstasy? Will we see an upset here in preseason action? 3.8 seconds on the clock, taking the snap. They're going to try and lateral this one around. Henriquez is down. And the game is over. The Queens Gales on a last-minute comeback, chaired by number 19, Ashton St. Germain, have shocked the football world with a declaration of intent, Don. A declaration of intent.
Yeah, well, the Gales, we talk about the importance of preseason action in that they won the first half, right? When you have starters on starters, Laval really controlled the third and first half of that fourth quarter. But, you know, this is, you know, these are the lessons that you get when you have the coaches when you first start training camp. All that extra messaging through, you know, practices, the messaging out of the middle of the field, the work you do in the training room and all that kind of thing, but the quality of the program, the depth for your backup guys to be able to come back down and make some of those big plays. When you talk about one guy that, you know, with, when we talk about receivers and that kind of thing, Ben Falkowski here this afternoon, two touchdowns, including the game winner, as well as getting that long reception off of the tip pass, and that lots to see out of him this afternoon.
And folks, what a classic contest that was. If this is a sign of what to expect quality-wise, not just from a Queens win, but just on-field product.
And wouldn't it be great to start and end the season with this matchup?
Yes, yes it would. Okay, folks, we are going to join Songwriters from Here and Away in progress, and then it's back to your schedule as you expect on a Saturday night. On behalf of Don Lewis and the whole CFRC broadcast crew, this is Jesse Bell wishing you all nothing but the best. And hey, tune in next Sunday night when the games count for real, although this one counted a great deal to everybody who played it. We will have Queens and Toronto, the Gales riding high after a stunning victory over the Laval Rouge A.O.R. Where else would you rather be but right here?
And I'm like, oh God, this is the coolest thing. Okay, I'll bring this home. This will be the one thing I bring back to the house that Rod will be glad I brought. Mm. So
I just got it on the bench. I haven't cracked it open yet, but I can verify that it is 1973 nicotine sticky.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Nicotine sticky.
It is an old piece of gear. So, we're not doing torch, are we?
Oh no! We just said that in mind. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
One, two, three. Michigan State is Jackson DeRozan shooting for the stars. Back then our days were longer than 9-to-5 bosses to pay the bills, but the nights were all ours. Now me in my leather and platform shoes, and I know that I had all the right moves. PA speakers and guitar amps held together with duct tape and clamps are too heavy to lift. These days we fly till they're out of sight and out of mind. We picked up this rug from Sears for $100 100 years ago. Has seen its share of naps, kisses, fights, and stupid TV shows.
if I can make God laugh. Well, the hours tick away and all I've got is a couple of chords in my epitaph. Well, the words don't come so easily these days. I'm sick of my own feelings. All I'm trying to do is move a heart or two, and it's got a groove. But always do my best so I'm not out of sight or out of
That sounds wonderful.
That will be the rocker.
It is definitely the rocker.
Full, that will be full production. I've already heard the rhythm tracks, and they crush. So, yeah.
Cool.
I know. Boy, we could have actually... No, we couldn't have done that.
We could have played along with them.
Yeah, we could have played...
Yeah, we spun the rhythm beds.
Oh, you want to do something else while we're here? You want to do the one that I thought we were going to do?
Oh.
Do we have room for two?
You have room for four if you want. It's what I do with this is... just so you know, is I create a one-hour show.
Or whatever.
Right. And so you just kind of go through and decide what you...
Yeah. Well, and the podcast, I take even more of it if I want it.
I said pick.
I just need little hints. This is brand new. And you know how they always go, like the ones that you like the most are the ones that are right out of the gate.
Yes.
So, well, I say that while I'm, you know, we're talking about all these songs from our last album that we're still having so much fun playing. But, you know, how are you doing a lot of writing these days, Robert?
I am doing more now. I'm starting back into it. I took a hiatus for a good, almost a year of not writing too much, doing some co-writing. But, yeah.
Yeah. I remember really appreciating your writing. It's been a while since I've heard any of it, but and I just asked because you can appreciate, I would imagine, like, you know, especially after 10 albums you have, and then there's a whole bunch of songs that we haven't recorded yet. And when you go to make your set list, when we go to play shows, right, we don't, it's hard to pick.
Yeah.
You want to just play for 3 hours.
Yeah. Yep.
Nobody wants to hear that much of us.
No.
But it's like, you know, I would just like, we just want to go play our songs as much as we can. And so, I don't know, we've been doing these live streams, which we're, you know, we're doing one tomorrow night with the quartet. They come down here and hang out in the basement. And
I've enjoyed the live streams. I've seen a few of them. So,
aww. Yeah. We, it's tricky to, you know, I mean, to keep a couple sets worth up in the air, though, and ready. It's a moving window that moves through the body of songs, and
right.
And we've been doing some fun stuff where we go back to we're going to do a revisit, a 20-year revisit of an old album. Correct, 20 years.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And actually, the guys don't know it from the album. We're going to teach it to them as if we were just sitting in the room teaching the tunes to them, and sort of reform them in that sense, and then just do a show. And this is all a shameless ploy to try and get the last couple boxes off the shelves. Because, good Lord, they've been hanging around forever.
If I turn the camera around, you'll see what,
Yeah.
It's the inventory. Hello, you should write an inventory song.
I'm looking at 50 or 75 CDs right over there, so I understand. And they're not different. They're all one CD. This is a spot where I get to do a shameless plug and say, come on over to Nova Scotia. Check out what we're doing here. We've got live concerts, workshops. We also have online workshops. We have another one coming up in the fall. And we'd love to see you. So check out sfhaa.ca. And please do like, follow, and share not only our pages and places, but all these artists. Check them out. Back to the show. The songwriting process is always a mystery to most of us, in a sense. I find it's a lot of hard work at times. Where do you now? Do you guys write as a duo in the same room sometimes, or do you one of you create? Do the other not really create?
I write the songs. I write the melodies. Sure. I write the, you know, the words and the chords. He frequently will suggest alternatives, or if I get stuck and I'm like tired of, you know, this whatever I'm working on, he's made some really great, you know, arrangement suggestions. But I never consider a song finished until Rod has come in and done his dance on them, which is
sure.
Yeah, I joke on stage that she writes the songs and the checks, and and that I keep the car packed and I get to color around the edges. And I always think of what we do as oftentimes I get to, you know, make the capital letters have a flourish to them, or muscle up a hook under a passage to bring the chorus, lift the chorus up, or things like that.
He should be a songwriter, though, right? With all that.
Well,
add the flourish to the capital letter.
Well, I just, somebody said you do lots of curly cues, and I think that works well, especially acoustically. In the way we put things together. So I try and serve the song, and I don't want to say flesh it out, because it's not skeletal when you play it by yourself. I think I help you couch the performance of it in a certain way. And that's, and since we get to do it together, that's what we gravitate to, you know?
Right.
90% of our, 90% of the songs that I write always have an instrumental solo, and always have space for that piece of it.
So I certainly get to compose there. Whether it's it's setting aside for improvisation or doing something scripted or what have you. I get plenty of leeway in that.
I was commenting. We were talking in a songwriting workshop the other day about parts, and how a lot of songwriters play. You know, they'll bang out the song, but they don't think about the pieces of the song as parts unto themselves, and the melodic function of what you're playing on the guitar, the melodic function of this guitar lead, or the hooks. And really, you can put it together, a series of hooks, in a sense, that are nested together to create the song, right? And that ear that you would have for that is very valuable. And of course, nowadays, a lot of the contemporary stuff, the producers, which you would be in that case, I think, I guess, in a sense, they're part of the songwriting team, right? So,
yeah.
It's a different
thing. Although I will correct you that, generally speaking, I'm the producer of these, the thing, and he, however, you are absolutely right. What he does, to me, the hooks of the songs come out of Rod, like specifically those instrumental hooks. You know, you're singing those melody. I'm singing those solos the way we used to sing, you know, our old favorite Jimi Hendrix solos.
Right.
I don't know why I said Jimi Hendrix.
I know. Now you got me thinking. We were just talking about Driving South by Hendrix on the live BBC. It's got to be the quintessential cut of his. But anyways, you know, honey, it's just another facet, a dimension that's getting added to it, you know. I think it... it sparks back and forth. I'll hear these things just sort of burbling up out of the ether around the house, and she'll sit down and say, "Want to hear a song?" And it'll be in some stage. It'll go off the burner. Some go away for a year and come back. It's
or 10.
Sort of a a constant stream of things, and there's a point where it starts to be something that's looking like we're going to perform it, and and the two of us sort of get it to a point, and then the band will come in or not. Oftentimes we're learning how to do it with the band and as a duo at the same time. So right. Sometimes the parts are pretty fluid. You know, I'll play may not settle in for a while. Like that song right. We just played, I'm still looking for a few things there.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's where the recordings come in too, because you get he'll sit here in the basement with the recordings, the tracks that we've made, and play along with them. And he and Jason, our mandolin player, frequently play off of each other. And right. So ultimately what ends up happening is that you play, finally you get something that you really like, and then that's what you learn. I mean, you know, Robert, right?
Yep.
Like you've recorded and you might totally change the melody line, or
sure.
I mean, I'm notorious for changing lyrics in the middle of making an album, but you know, that's...
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That has been the last thing we've done a couple times, is one last little lyric change.
Oh yeah, there's more.
Well, and when you sit down, do you sit down to write? Do you book time, or do you just writing all the time? How does it work for you?
It has evolved a lot over the years. I have never been a sit down and write kind of person unless I have a thing that I'm working on. Like so often what'll happen for me is I'll pick up my guitar and just start noodling around. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not, this is lately. It used to be, when I first started writing songs, I might be listening to the radio and typing away at my secretarial job. And then there's this little thing that you can do, Alt-Tab, that'll change your screen. So I frequently would have a whole song going in the background so that my boss came in, I just Alt-Tab and went back to whatever I was supposed to be working on. And then when he'd leave, I'd turn around yeah. and go back to. And yeah. I would write entire song lyrics, a couple of which are on this 20-year-old album, while I'm, you know, at work, because this rhythm happens. And then suddenly, you know, when I listen to music, I'm very, very inspired, and it's hard for me to not want to just turn it off and go write a song. And
right.
It would sound almost as if like now that's the thing that I'm going to write, but it never ever sounds like what I was just listening to. It's just that kind of, now you've got like something that's processing in your brain. And this songwriting group again has been a thing for me where now I have to be deliberate.
I'm going to Alt-Tab right now and insert When They Fall, a track off their new album, shows the great variety of writing and the superb musicianship. Here it is, When They Fall.
Climbing up on the scaffolding, 200 feet off the ground, side of the building, but don't ever look down. Sparrows, deserted playground, stories burst at the seams, wide open, closed to the public, on display for no one to see. Nobody looking when they fall. Mm-hmm. up on the scaffolding, 200 feet off the ground, painting dreams on the side of the building, but don't ever look.
Friends of mine, Jan Christ and Jim Beiser, with whom Rod and I are in a band called Diamonds in the Rust.
Yes.
And also Jan's husband, Alan Finkbeiner.
Big members of Farm as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jan and Jim and I put on a songwriting retreat and have been doing one. We just did our sixth annual. They started kind of out of COVID. We did them virtually, and then now they've become in person. And this next song that we're talking about playing for you is one that came out of that. And so we also do a prompt. We give the prompt the week before so they people can think about it and start working on it if they want to. But we as songwriters, as the instructors or the facilitators of this thing, I did not start working on this until like the day before. But it was just, again, another one of those, you know, times when I just started doing. And I'd say this because I don't ever do that. I'm either doing
Travis picking or something.
Or picking or strumming, trying to find a groove. I don't think I've written a song where it is this, like, you know, and I imagine a piano on this too, my friend. So, which I wish I could play the piano. It's just E and B7.
Yeah.
Anyways, I throw one more chord in it later, but. Well, actually, two, kind of. So, yeah.
Are you going to do it?
Shall we play it?
Sure. Have
that
at
like
her.
A perfectly Would good love introduction that. To it. Okay. It's called Torch Song. And you'll understand. I'll tell you about the prompt after we play it. Brilliant, flashing, flickering, crashing, the whole house lit up and the power went out. You grabbed the candles and I found the matches and we hunkered down. Curled up on the couch, a little uneasy as the window panes rattled with each thunderous clap. I couldn't help thinking sometimes it takes days for the light comes back. But I want you to know I'll always carry a torch for you. It might sound strange, but I really don't mind when the electricity goes out in the night. Maybe we should climb up on the roof with a key and a kite. Whatever it takes, I'll always carry a torch for you. Like a forklift from the ruins, dust off the debris, and tell me you love me and absolve my sins. slowly in the dark. There's a shadow on your face, cast by the flame. The storm isn't over, but we've got far too much skin in this game. So no matter what, I'll always carry a torch for you. I hope that you know I'll always carry a torch for you.
Hey Kingston, let's take a walk together for awareness, fundraising, and fun. Join us for the 2026 Kingston Canada Walks for Bladder Cancer event happening at Lake Ontario Park on Sunday, September 13th, 2026 at 9:30 a.m. Gather your friends, family, and colleagues and team up for a day by the water supporting Bladder Cancer Canada and register now at bccwalk.ca. Great fun for a great cause. See you on September 13th.
After 9 long months, Gales Game Day makes its triumphant return to CFRC.
Queens Gales are golden once more.
Tune in on Sunday, August 30th at 6:45 p.m. to catch all the action that makes you stand up and say...